The Gospel according to Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. This is God's Word. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? That is God's Word. I have two cameras. One of them recently had a problem. Well, not recently. Over the last several months, started to have problems. There's a mechanism within the camera that informs how much light to let in. It's not the kind of problem you can fix by changing your aperture on your lens. It just won't take in the light. There's something wrong with the camera. Ordinarily, the aperture, which is on the lens, controls how much light comes in. It's like an eye gets small. If you want very little light and you want sharpness at a long distance, and it gets really big to let in a lot of light. If you wanted to shoot in a dark setting, you want a camera that allows for a lens that has a large aperture. Especially if you want to take pictures of sports and it's dark, or movement, people playing in the evening time, you need a very, very big aperture. Without it, you get darkness. And we've missed a lot of pictures on that camera. Tiffany recently used it. And so none of these are turning out. They're all turning out dark. And she knows enough how to work the camera where they shouldn't have turned out dark. But there was something with the eye. The eye was dark. There's a light that ought to communicate to our hearts. And that is the light of God. The teaching of which Christ was giving when He sat on the hillside and He gave us what we have here in Matthew chapter 6, 5, 6, and 7. Light, illuminating, teaching, instruction, instructing. He had it to give, but not everyone had eyes to receive it. What He's teaching us in these two verses is that you as a disciple, the disciple has a responsibility. The disciple has a responsibility to pay attention to the truth of God's Word, to the truth of His kingdom. We have a responsibility to develop attentiveness, to pay attention in worship, to give responsibility, or rather attention, to your own reading of God's Word, to let it in and take it in. So we only have two major points this morning from this text, which really follows closely on the previous one we looked at last week concerning treasures in heaven or treasures on earth. So first, as a disciple, you have a lot to take in from your Lord. The eye is the lamp of the body. The eye gathers the light. It doesn't generate the light. It gathers it and presents it to the heart, as Jesus is using this metaphor. There are a lot of things around us that God has presented to our eyes, ears, nose, mouth to receive in. In fact, God has created us with those senses because He created a world to speak to those senses. He created a flower with a fragrance because He gave us the sense of smell. And God doesn't do anything in vain. God doesn't give us a sense of smell and then create a world without aroma and fragrance. And God gave us ears. And He gave the birds their call and the animals their cries. And He gave all these things, the crashing of the waves, their sound, and we know you can do the science and know how all that comes out, and the echoes and the vibrations that bring it to our ears and all of that. But He didn't give us ears in vain. He gave it, gave us ears because He created a world for our ears that echo forth sounds that we are to take in. We are to take it in and respond to them. We have ears to hear music. We have ears to hear the voices of our loved ones. Every now and then, YouTube has something neat. And I don't know if you saw the one about a small child. It was just a little short piece that said, child hears his mother's voice for the first time because he's got cochlear implants. And so all of a sudden, this child is able to hear. And then he hears his mother's voice for the first time. God gave us ears to hear. He gave us a sense of touch, so we can notice texture, so that we can feel temperature, so that we can make our way through a dark hall at night and we can feel our way through. He gave us these things. We can feel roughness and smoothness. We can feel under our feet whether we're sliding and gliding on ice or walking on a rough hiking trail. We feel it. God gave us the sense of taste. And He created a world full of flavor. And we enjoyed a lot of that yesterday. Right? We enjoyed a lot of that. The bitter, the sweet, the savory. Now some of you, it's the yucky, right? Some of you don't like the taste of things, but He gave flavors to it all anyway. Our senses are given that we may interact with the world God created for us. This is long, but we're getting to the whole eye metaphor. He gave us senses so that we can interact with what God has revealed, with the objects that surround us, that have definite shape and form, that God has created with particular aromas, that give forth particular sounds. We have these senses to take in what God gives us. We have eyes that capture creation in stunning 3D, right? That takes light in through our eyes till it gets to the optic nerve, and we can look and we can say, that's a bench, that's a pew. And I see that, and you know what? I see it as it is. What I'm seeing is actually what that bench looks like, and what the piano looks like, and what you look like. Our senses are created to take in these things, the truth of them. Jesus is speaking to disciples, again, some of them closer as disciples than others, some of them tag-alongs for sure, but they were Jews. And you know what the Jews had? They had a vast body of teaching called the Old Testament. They didn't call it that, we do. But they had this whole vast teaching of the law, the prophets, the wisdom literature. And they lived their lives not only surrounded by what was literally visible to their eyes, the temple, right, the cities and all the places that were so important in the history of God's people. They lived metaphorically, as Jesus uses the sight, the eye metaphorically, they lived with the revelation of God that they had as a great, vast panorama for them to take in every day of their lives. It was there before them, taught to them in their childhood, and they were to take it in, they were to absorb it as God had revealed it. Not to mask it, not to erase it. Had all this revelation to fill their sight, all presented to them so they can take it in. Kind of like your favorite place that you take in. You go to a favorite place, maybe you got a bucket list, and you go out cross country and you visit some place and you stop and you get out on that side of the road, that little turn in, and you park your car and you turn it, you walk up to the fence, you don't go over the fence because that's it, you stay on this side of the fence, it's proper, and you look. And you're amazed and enthralled by what your eye takes in. And it's not enough time to take it all in because you got to move, get down the road to your next place. But you take it in. You absorb it. The eye is the lamp of the body, Jesus tells the gathered crowd. The eye is the lamp of the body. The eye is descriptive or metaphorical for how you take into yourself what God presents to you and reveals to you in this particular point, Jesus' own teaching. As He's teaching, He's telling them how to pay attention to His teaching. You're a disciple, and taking in light is what you do. You need it to change and grow and mature. You take in the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you were to be a faithful disciple, if you were to mature and grow as a disciple, you have to take it in wherever it is presented to you. Whether in worship, or in your devotions from God's Word, or a discipleship class, or Sunday school, you take it in. Jesus uses the theme of light because, as you know, Scripture loves the theme of light. God loves the theme of light, even from the very beginning. God said, let there be light. Let there be that which brings the objects of God's creation and His Word visible to us. It opens up a universe that God has made for us to inhabit. And God's Word opens up a universe to us of who God is and how we may be saved and what He made us for anyway to glorify and enjoy Him. Light. And it comes in through the eye. The beauty of the kingdom of heaven can be seen if you just open your eyes. If you just light the light of revelation come in. The Psalms paint pictures of God, not in the sense that some might think, but they describe God in visible ways that come to our senses. An arm that reaches down, a strong arm to save, right? His right hand of power. Right? A voice that thunders like the ocean. The light that Isaiah saw. The revelation of the glory of God as he saw the Lord high and lifted up. Probably, most likely, a pre-incarnate manifestation of the Son of God. And he saw it high and lifted up. That vision given to him. Saints have always had eyes of faith, and they've always been compelled by God's Word to look and behold. Right? That's a great word you find in behold. Behold. When John said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, he didn't mean, hey, look at that guy. just take in the object of his frame and form. It's not what he meant. It's behold the Lamb of God and take everything He says in. Take them all in. Take His work on the cross in. Take it in. Take His ministry of suffering and humility. Take it in. Soak it up. Follow Him. Be a disciple. Open your eyes and you'll be changed forever. John was just a herald. Jesus was the Savior. And He still is. Do you take Him in? Do you understand that God has given you as a disciple of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, to develop spiritual awareness and sensitivity to what God reveals? It's not only the Word of God. In fact, as a Christian, you should know that you can view the universe with so much greater delight now than you ever had before. Because you see it not as something that came through a matter of time. I wonder if anyone really, really looks at the world that way.
Maybe some do. But when you look at the world, you see a creator. You take it in and you love it. It's beautiful. And when you take in the Word of God, you love it because it's beautiful. And it speaks of a God of glory and majesty and mercy and grace who sent His own Son for you to take Him all in. As a disciple, you have to develop that. You have to take it in. You have to want to. When you're here this morning, or next Sunday morning, or the next, or when you're gathering at your own table with your own Bible, be mindful to open your eyes and see what God presents to that spiritual sense. Secondly, as a disciple, you should check your vision. Jesus is speaking about healthy sight, an healthy eye, and a bad, that is an unhealthy eye. And that means He wants us to determine, discern, be careful to reflect upon what kind of eye we have. Again, it's a metaphor, so it mixes things up a little bit. Do you have a good, healthy eye or a bad eye? Well, we prayed just for our brother in Uganda, Mali, Uganda, because he has a problem with his eyes. This glaucoma, right? Macular degeneration, this cataracts, astigmatism. I have an astigmatism. I have to wear glasses. If I take these off, it's really, really hard to read. I can't take in everything when I'm like this. I can't take it in. My eye's bad. Right? Some of you have had the surgery for cataracts, right? There are hindrances to our vision that we need to be aware of and clear out. Things that interfere, that darken our sight. They don't allow us to clearly interpret the world around us and understand it. And if we have bad eyes, then we don't interpret and understand properly the revelation of God. We don't know Jesus properly. We can't see Him properly if we have a bad eye. A healthy eye brings light, Jesus says. It takes it in. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. All of you benefit when you take it, the whole of your person benefits when you pay attention to God's Word, when you listen to Jesus Christ, when you meditate upon what He has done for you as it's revealed in Scripture. Everything about you benefits from it. It's light. The eye, healthy eye, keeps its sights on Jesus. The healthy eye is metaphorically the heart that is prepared to receive what He teaches, to receive the revelation of Jesus Christ concerning the kingdom. So what makes an eye healthy? What makes an eye healthy? What determines how can you reflect upon whether you have a healthy eye, whether you're really attentive to the things of God or not? Well, last week we saw that you can treasure up earthly things, and that will really, really impact your eye. Remember, when you treasure earthly things, earthly treasure, it determines what motivates you, doesn't it? So it impacts everything about you. If you set your mind upon earthly treasure and you treasure it up, you store it up, you've told us what motivates you. You told us what dictates your actions. And remember what the third thing was? It's what opportunities you will look for. When you're busy about earthly treasure, you're looking for opportunities to gain what? More what? Earthly treasure. So you have bad sight because you're not looking for deep things from God's Word. You're not looking to understand and to receive it and to be changed.
You're not asking for God's Word to be opened up to your spiritual sight so that you can grow and mature, because you're busy looking for other things.
But if you seek heavenly treasure, well, then you're motivated differently. You're motivated to take it in. You're looking for opportunities. Where are they given? Well, they're given in your own, with your own scriptures and your own time, but they're given in the context of the body of Christ here right now, in ladies' Bible study and men's Bible study and table talk discussion group and Sunday school. You're looking for opportunities to take it in. That's a good indication you have a good eye. You develop spiritual habits. Spiritual habits. Prayer. Attentiveness again to your devotions, to worship. And when you do that, your eye takes in a lot of light. You start soaking it up. It's another metaphor we use, don't we? We soak it up. You are able by the Spirit then to live as a disciple. You can make your way through the momentary decisions of your life and the long-term plans of your life. But what about a bad eye? Jesus says a bad eye adds to the darkness. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Unhealthy, unsound, a dim eye. Paul calls it a mindset on the flesh. It's a bad eye. You got gaps in your vision. You're not able to see the whole panorama. Maybe you have narrow vision. So here's a bad eye. A bad eye looks at God's Word and builds whole doctrines on a single verse without giving attention to the rest of it, because it gets such a narrow focus. God's given you this, but you're living your life satisfied with John 3:16, and that's all you want, and that's all you care about. That's a bad eye. There's so much more to God's Word than John 3:16. It's a beautiful verse. It's an encouraging verse. It's an assuring verse. But there's so much more to it. A lot of heresies come from people with bad eyes, because they don't see the whole of Scripture, interpreting Scripture. And a lot of people follow heresy because they have bad eyes. Attention to earthly treasure does it. But you know what else does it? If you have more attention to that which is indifferent than that which is revealed by God, then you have a bad eye. You know what indifferent things are? Things you say you do every day in your life and you give attention to them. You say, well, God didn't say I can't do this. And so you fill your time, you fill your life with taking in. You know what you're taking in? Things that, on the scale of things, don't matter. and you give all your attention to it. Well, God never said, I can't play solitaire. God never said, I can't watch TV. God never said, I can't see a movie. God never said, I can't listen. God never said, I can't. So that's what you do. And all things are lawful, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful, but not all things encourage, Paul says. So if your response to the Lord Jesus Christ is that, well, I give my attention to things that aren't bad all the time. I give my attention to things that aren't bad. You still got a bad eye. Not because you give some attention to it, but if you give so much attention to it that you do not give attention to God's Word, you are not attentive to the worship of God with His people. You're not participating in some way with some discipleship ministry, and all you're doing is filling your time with things that aren't bad. You tell me, what do you think? If your child grew up and all they ever did was indifferent, would you say, I'm so glad they're growing up to be the kind of young man and young lady I've wanted them to be, because I know they don't do that bad stuff?
because they're indifferent. Jesus says that brings darkness in. That's darkness. Minding your own business can bring darkness. The children's song is really true. You ought to be careful, little eyes, what you see. You ought to be careful what you take in. You want to be attentive that you're taking in the right stuff. And yes, if you have time and you want to do some things that are generally indifferent, have at it. But if you are not setting your sights on taking in all that God has given to you, and we have a whole lifetime to do it, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Your unwillingness to develop spiritual habits might leave you unable to benefit from the Word of God. So if you generally have a poor spiritual habits during the week, coming in on the Lord's Day and as if it were, you know, punching a card, and then I come in and I'm going to worship, do not be surprised if you are unable to take in all that God and the revelation in His Word of how to worship Him brings to you and offers to you. Don't be surprised if you go home and say, well, how was worship? It was, well, maybe the problem isn't, problem can be the pastor, but maybe it isn't for sake of argument and conversation. Say the problem is the fact that you were never prepared to come in to start with. You never opened your eyes through the whole service. You let the salutation just pass right by, didn't even notice it. The call to worship, hymn of praise, what was that? What did we say? Because your eyes are dark. They're bad. Sin certainly can make your vision blurry and dark. And you know it. You know it. You know it when you're in sin. You don't want to take in stuff. You don't want to take in things that might be convicting. Sin blocks the vision. You become blinded to what Paul, Philippians 4:8. You become blinded to what is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, worthy of praise. Think about these things. Paul doesn't say, whatever is indifferent, think about these things. Sin makes you disinterested until you repent, and then you're hungry, aren't you? Then you want to start taking it all in again. And thank God there's grace for the repentant. Jesus concludes, if the light is dark, how dark will the darkness be? If you are a person who needs light, that indicates that there is still a remnant of sin in you as a Christian. There's still a remnant of sin. And if you let no light in and your eye is bad, how dark will it be? Have you ever been to a place that is really, really dark? I mean, frightfully dark? There's a cavern in Lenoir, North Carolina. Maybe it's Linville. And they take you down. They take you down to this cave. And they make sure that when you get down into the middle of this cave, you hold on to a railing. Because when they turn out the lights, there is absolutely no light. Probably now people have their phones and things are sending light all over. But there was a time you could go down there and it was a heavy weight of darkness. Jesus, if your eye is bad, it's dark. And if that's dark, how dark is the darkness? Jesus wants us to be attentive. Jesus wants us to take it all in. Why does He want us to take it all in? Again, is Jesus just nitpicking? You know, Sermon on the Mount, there's Jesus again telling us what's wrong with us. No, because He wants you to have the light. He wants you to benefit from the truth of the gospel. He doesn't want that you just go around singing the song, once saved, always saved, and never take any bit of light in. He wants you to mature and grow because maturing and growth is good for you and honoring to the Father. He wants you to have all that God has promised and revealed in His Word, all those wonderful things. He wants you to be able to go outside because you've read God's Word and you know He's the Creator and look and be in wonder at all that has been made for your benefit. Is that a nitpicky Christ? Is that a careless Savior? Is He a monster of a master? Not at all. Not at all. He wants you to know how much He loves you. He wants you to know how much. He wants you to know what it cost. He wants you to know how to follow Him and live as Him. As He taught us to, rather. Every Christian needs to be reminded of the gospel to keep taking that light in. You need constant light so that you learn to desire more light. And if you remember the gospel, it's likely you're going to want to take more in. You need that constant light, more light to tell you how to live in a way that pleases Him. You need light because you are ignorant without it. And if you are not a believer, you need light because right now you're in the darkest place. It's called death. You're in the darkest place. And it only gets darker. Is something darker than death? Yes. Hell is darker than death. Hell is worse than walking in this world without Christ. That's bad enough. But eternal punishment under the wrath of God, that's a darkness that is, you think you can bear it for a while. It's all unbearable there. You need to listen. Listen when someone tells you the gospel. And the gospel is that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That He dies on a cross and He doesn't say the first thing you have to do is obey Me. He says what you have to do is just trust Me. Just trust what I am telling you. Trust what I have done for you. Trust that I took the sin upon Myself. Believe in Me. Open your eyes, we learn, and behold all that the Lord Jesus is and all He has done, all He has commanded and all He has prepared for those who love Him. If your eye is healthy, you'll be looking forward to eternal life. You'll be looking forward to it because God's Word tells us about it and you've taken it in. Let's pray. Have mercy on us, O God. You've set us in a place of such beauty. And sometimes, Father, we just want to sit in the car and not go out and look at the panorama and not look at the glorious trees and their height and their width and their stout and their green. Father, help us to open our eyes. Give us healthy eyes. Help us to take it all in because You've revealed so much. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The brothers will come forward.